Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA, where we share risk intelligence from experts across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vincent, Executive Vice President at SRA.
Hello, welcome to the Risk Intel Podcast. I'm Ed Vincent, and with me today are Beth Nillis and Mike Jones. Beth is a director on the implementation team at SRA, and Mike is the Chief Compliance Officer at SRA. Beth brings a wide range of operational experience within financial institutions, having worked at de novo banks at the one end of the spectrum, all the way up to top five banks at the large end of the spectrum. Mike comes at this from a slightly different angle, with a significant amount of advisory and consulting experience at firms like PwC and Deloitte. Also looking at this from a compliance perspective, having worked inside of financial technology organizations as a chief compliance officer at a fintech. So Mike and Beth, thank you very much for joining us today. We look forward to your perspectives.
Thanks. Pleasure.
All right. In our last conversation, we kicked things off and talked a little bit about what a program risk assessment is. Today, we're going to build on that and understand a little bit more about how banks have used program risk assessments historically, how they have enacted them, what are their best practices, and how are banks utilizing program risk assessments today. So Beth, let's start with your experience kind of having worked inside of a bank. Historically, how did banks go about either creating or maintaining or capturing information as it relates to program risk assessments?
So in the smaller organizations, what you'll find often is each individual department that's responsible for various things will either have a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet that they'll put together on an annual basis, and you know, they'll send it off to somebody to look at, and that's how they did it. And again, that's all a resource-based thing, right? Because they do it off the side of their desk. As you grow, you probably want to get a little bit more consistent in your approach and look at how it goes into it, putting it in a more consistent format and that sort of thing. And as banks get larger, they have more resources. They get, you know, risk officers, compliance officers, and things like that. So it gets maybe done with input from management at those various department levels into a risk office. And that's what I've seen over time. I will say, though, that today, often, almost 100% of the time, I would say, people are still using Word documents and Excel spreadsheets to get this done. Mike, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And that comes with some risk of its own, right? Managing version control, managing a consistent process through the risk assessment development is kind of key. You know, you might have more than one person doing these program risk assessments. One person or group might be doing the compliance risk assessment, for example. You might have a completely different person or group doing your BSA risk assessment, and then a third person or group doing your fair lending risk assessment. And it's important to have a thorough, consistent approach and a consistent set of deliverables. And it's hard to do the old-fashioned way.
All right. So we're not quite as archaic as three-ring binders and written pieces of paper, but probably not far off it. It sounds like, though, first and foremost, it's a matter of maintaining these and updating these consistently. So, right, it's not a one and done. This is something that you're going to update annually. Is that right?
I would say at least annually. Depending on the size of the institution, the mix of business, more frequently if there's substantial growth, say through mergers and acquisition, if there's been a change in your product and service offering, or if there's been a change in the regulation, that would call for something to be done, you know, as soon as you are aware of that change.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to kind of part one is get these in place, update them on a consistent basis. Part two is this concept of version control and a consistent approach. And as you said, Mike, multiple different people or departments can be touching these. So Beth, right, you indicated there that in your experience, right, it still is common for these to be completed in Word or Excel or some other, I'll say, in a somewhat bespoke manner. What would you say is a best practice, and perhaps talk about, you know, the attributes of what a more forward-looking solution would exhibit?
Honestly, ours. Ours is the best one I've seen. SRA has you look at the regulatory requirements. You have to address that. I like the fact that the software that we offer, and I really wish we had had it, is when I was doing this, it gives you the foundation. And you start at the foundation, and then as an institution, you can add to it. That is, you know, you always address what's regulatory required, and then you have to evaluate the institution from your own lens, right? You understand what your bank is doing, what your credit union is doing, and you need to give it flavor, tell the story of the bank within your risk assessment.
So it's not one size fits all. There is a foundational aspect to this that the regulators expect at a minimum. There's this baseline, but then, right, if you are a, you know, $100 million community bank, if you're a $1.2 billion community bank, if you're a $12 billion regional bank, right, whatever the dynamic is, you're unique as an institution. And so you need to then configure these and personalize these program risk assessments to your unique operating model.
Exactly. Because if you just do out of the box canned thing, you're not really addressing your risk. You're just doing the, you know, going through the motions.
And one of the ways that sort of illustrates itself or presents itself begins with what you would call an applicability analysis. In other words, that particular institution, what are the rules, regulations, and laws that apply? Because it's not the same from bank to bank. And so be able to facilitate that analysis, quickly configure the tool to reflect the applicable laws and regulations, and adapt it, like you said, Ed, to your individual institution's key.
Any other best practices that we're missing here, guys?
I would add a couple. One is just the consistent methodology, a consistent definition of inherent risk, which is the quantity of risk that the institution faces, consistent definition of the quality of risk management, how effective your controls are, and then a consistent analytical approach to sort of using those as input to calculate your residual risk. It doesn't seem that difficult, but when you have multiple people throughout an institution doing this, you may have significant differences that result in, that make it harder to interpret the results unless you have a solid and consistent tool. The other thing, and Beth alluded to this earlier, is you have to be able to identify actions to take to address risk. And we call these risk improvement activities. So a way to identify the risk, put in place an action plan, and not only to put it in place, but to track it through to completion is important. And it's important for a lot of reasons: getting it done, instilling confidence in your board of directors, and the other stakeholders like regulators will rely on you to show results there.
Yeah, and I would add as well, Mike, that it's okay to accept risk, but you better say why you're willing to accept that risk and show that you know how to manage that risk. I mean, as Mike said, each institution is unique, and it might be okay to have some risk in some areas, but you don't gloss over it. You highlight it, and then you address it.
All right, those are some really important takeaways there. So I'm going to try and recap it here. Up front, there's an applicability analysis, right? Making sure that this is that the methodology you're using is built on a regulatory foundation, and then it is personalized to your bank and your operating model. So that's kind of point number one. Point number two is then that this is applied consistently. So there's a consistent methodology, a consistent analytical approach, a discipline around making sure that the entire organization is approaching this in the same way. And then related to that, I think there's a technology piece of version control and ensuring that this information is stored and housed and maintained in a consistent manner. So, right, that can be done whether you're going to build something in-house or you're going to use a tool set like what SRA has or any other partner out there, making sure you've got, you know, a handle on version control. And then lastly, this whole concept of using this to take action itself. So it's not sufficient for this to sit on the shelf. Creating risk improvement activities, making decisions, Beth, as you pointed out, around how much risk you're willing to accept, and what is your plan to manage that risk. So I think that those are some really great best practices that folks can hopefully take away from this and put into practice. Beth, Mike, thank you very much for your insights today. It was great having you. We appreciate the perspectives.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.